You are listening to the Rewards Canada podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 86 of the Rewards Canada podcast, and the last episode for 2021. Wow, did this year ever fly by? And in fact, it seems like the past 20 years have gone by way too fast. Yes, Rewards Canada turned 20 this past September. We didn't celebrate it though, just kept it low key. But who knows, maybe I'll choose to celebrate it in the new year with some sort of something, who knows. But I do want to thank all of our readers, subscribers, listeners, and viewers for your support over the past two decades. Without you, Rewards Canada would not be where and what it is today. So a big, big thank you to all of you, and here's looking to the next 20 years. I hope you stay with us. Now let's get on with this final episode of 2021. And this episode is a look back at the year. It's a year in review of 2021. Now, of course, I won't be able to cover everything, as that would take hours, if not days, and I feel like this will be a long episode no matter what. So please bear with me as we look back at some of the more popular and notable topics of the year, see which programs excelled, which didn't, and more. We started the year off with our first article on credit cards needing an overhaul. This article was supposed to cover five cards, but we ended up writing so much about the RBC Avion cards that we couldn't make it just one article. It's been nearly a year since that article came out, and it still holds 100% true and garners a lot of traffic on our site still. We still believe that this card really needs to be updated. Redeeming for flights via the Avion charts or even via their pay with points option is one of, if not the most expensive in Canada. Not in terms of actual points required, but in the terms of spending on your credit card to get those rewards. I've used the example so many times in posts over the year that would you rather spend as little as $12,000 on your credit card to get a reward flight to Europe or $52,000? Those are the minimum spend levels when comparing Amex's Cobalt card against the RBC Avion cards. And I think I know how you would all answer that. Now, we did see news come out later in the year about some rumored changes to the Avion cards. However, those haven't come to fruition yet, nor did those changes even address the core issues with the program, and that's the Avion's earn-to-burn ratio. So we'll just have to see what RBC does, if they do anything, in 2022 to change this. As always, you can find a link to that article and the rest we mentioned in this episode on our podcast page at rewardscanada.ca/podcast or in the description below if you happen to be listening on our YouTube channel. That leads us right into one of the next most popular posts we had for this year, and that was when earning 5x points isn't the same as earning 5x points, a loyalty lesson. In this article, we took BMO to task on the advertising of their new Eclipse Visa cards and how they heavily pushed that their cards earned 5x points, but what they didn't explain is what those points were actually worth. Yes, the ads are true. The cards do earn 5x points, but it's kind of shady in that unsuspecting customers may think the 5x points on the BMO Eclipse cards are the same as true 5x points earning cards, such as the Amex Cobalt card, the Scotia Gold American Express card, and more recently, the MBNA Rewards World Elite MasterCard. At the time we posted the article, the redemption rate for BMO points was 140 points to $1 for travel redemptions. So the 5x points was actually only worth a 3.57% return. So we called that a 3.57 point card. Whereas the other true 5x points cards provided a straight 5% return or even more for travel. The crazy thing is that that redemption rate from BMO only lasted a few months, and leads us into the news from them that came out in early February, and that was BMO was changing their travel redemption rates for the worse. The new redemption rate for travel would be 150 points to $1. That now made the 5x points on those Eclipse cards only worth 3.33 cents each, and the one-time point earning only 0.67 cents per point. Honestly, this took me by surprise as we have never seen a company make a devaluation so soon after launching new products. The BMO Eclipse cards were devalued after only 6 months of being on the market. There was some good news from BMO, however, around the same time, and that's that they made their cashback cards better. Not the best, but better. Right around this time as well, news came from Scotia that they were now going to implement their changes, while devaluation, to their use points for credit, aka cashback, in the Scotia Rewards program. and that was to happen in April of 2021. These were originally set to happen in 2020 in the midst of the pandemic, and we all jumped on Scotia at that time saying, really? When people can't travel, when people have lost their jobs or were working less hours and needed to rely on some of those points for cash options and you were going to devalue them? Well, Scotia did come to their senses and decided to postpone those changes, but unfortunately they are in place now as of earlier this year. And then only a few short weeks after Scotia's and BMO's news came, news that the Scene program was changing earn rates on Cineplex and Playdium purchases. They moved to awarding points per dollar spent rather than per ticket purchase at Cineplex, a move that was a big devaluation for anyone buying single tickets, around 50% in our calculations actually. But for those buying multiple tickets, it could actually work out to be better, as now you would earn points on all tickets purchased rather than just one adult and up to two children. Cineplex Online took a full 50% hit though, earning went from 10 points per dollar to 5 points per dollar, and Playdium rates got destroyed as they went from 10 points per dollar to 1 point per dollar. These earn rate slashes do make a bit more sense now, however, as Cineplex and Scotia confirmed their 2020 news that their two reward programs will be combined to make Scene Plus. And with some Scotia credit cards having higher earn rates for the combined program, you can tell that they needed and wanted to make cuts in certain areas, and I think that's where it came from. So you have a higher earn in the program overall from those credit cards and less for actual using your Scene card at these places because they're expecting people to be using both. We'll come back to the Scene Plus program later in this episode though. So far, this podcast has really only touched upon the not-so-good news we saw in 2021. And well, for some reason, it all happened early on. So let's get to some of the good news. Let's look at the programs who excelled throughout the year. For our dedicated readers and listeners, I'm sure you already know who some of these are. But for those of you who don't, those are American Express and Aeroplan. Amex did a lot this year, and I mean a lot throughout the whole year, and still are, even at the time of recording this. But the two biggest pieces of news from them were them releasing their best ever welcome bonus offers on 7 of their cards, and then them making the Cobalt card the ultimate destroyer of credit cards in Canada. In late June, Amex came out with a promotion with their best ever offers on 7 of their cards, namely their Aeroplan, Air Miles, and Marriott cards, plus the Platinum card. The offers provided up to 150,000 bonus points on the Ultra Premium cards, and 75,000 to 105,000 points on the others. Well, Air Miles currency is different, so the Air Miles Reserve saw an up to 7,500 mile bonus. These were some of the biggest bonuses ever seen in Canada, not just numerically, but value-wise as well. Will we ever see them again? Hard to say, but to be honest with you, the current offers on most of these cards aren't that far off. They're just kind of missing on that bonus category spending that those cards saw back in June when you applied for them. It didn't end there though. Just so existing card members at that time didn't feel left out or jealous, they provided those existing cardholders with some big category spend bonuses of 5 to 10 bonus points per dollar. And depending on the card that you had, it was for up to 25,000 to 50,000 bonus points in total. You better believe our Platinum and Bonvoy cards got a major workout during that time. I mean, dining purchases on the Platinum card was earning 13 points per dollar. That was just insane. I didn't calculate my total in the end, but I know I got pretty darn close to that 50,000 bonus points. May have actually hit it, but like I said, I didn't calculate it, but I know it was a lot of points for sure. Then out of the blue, only a few weeks after the big bonuses, Amex decided to make the already best credit card in Canada, the Cobalt card, even better. So we decided to give it a new nickname at that time, the Destroyer, because on earn and burn, it literally does destroy the competition. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, every Canadian should have this card in their wallet. So how did they make it better? Well, first off, they added a 3x points multiplier on popular streaming services in Canada. But the second thing they did, and this was the bigger thing, was letting Cobalt cardholders convert points directly to Air Canada, British Airways, and their other airline partners in the membership rewards program. This was huge. I mean, no other card in the market has the ability to earn up to 5 Aeroplan points or BA Avios per dollar spent. And I'm not even touching upon Amex making their used points for purchases, which they actually updated early in the year, to 1,000 points equaling $10 from $7, when it used to equal $7. That's why the Cobalt card became ranked the number one cashback card in Canada as well. Now, all of this did come at a cost. They increased the monthly fee on the card from $10 per month to $12.99 per month. Some card members weren't happy as they have no use for the direct conversion to airlines. But to be honest with you, even without that, the card still provides huge value, and I think most people were willing to swallow the $2.99 per month increase on the card just because they saw that the value was there. And also at that time, Amex updated the Choice card and renamed it to their classic American Express Green Card. It also got the ability to convert directly to the airlines, which actually made the card one of only several no annual fee cards in Canada that allow you to earn Aeroplan points, BA Avios points, etc. with. But of course, going back to the Cobalt changes, it had everyone asking or stating, because of those changes, it essentially made the Gold Rewards card obsolete. So what does Amex do? They revamped that card as well and made it more into a mini Platinum card with additional travel benefits and credits. And now you can also get it in that famed rose gold color as well that was made so popular in the US. It's funny too, the Gold Rewards card just happened to be one of those five cards we wrote about that was due for an overhaul. Although our plans for the card were much different than what Amex did, but then again, had I known what they had planned for the Cobalt card when I wrote the post on revamping the Gold Rewards card, it would have looked different for sure. Although I still would have asked for a higher earn rate at drugstores. I mean, come on, I want to earn 4x points at London Drugs on my electronics, please. But Amex wasn't just done yet at all. The next thing they did is they added Air France, KLM, Flying Blue as a transfer partner. Yes, the conversion rate of 1 to 0.75 miles is less than Aeroplan or BA's 1 to 1, but when you take Air France KLM's promo rewards into account, that's their monthly discounted rewards, and for the past 5 or so months they have had Canadian cities in it, it can prove to be a very valuable conversion option. You know, that's one of those ones that you kind of keep in your back pocket until you need it. And then throughout the year, we had so many Amex offers, like Amex's Shop Small promotion for the summer. That really has been matched by any other card issuers in Canada. Not just the summer promotion, but Shop Small in general every time they run it. And then throughout the whole year, so many Amex offers during the whole course of the year. Too many to list, but they still just continue to provide so much value. But I do have to give credit to RBC here, as they've been growing their RBC offers program as of late, with some offers that seem more relevant to more of the population, but they still have a long way to go to match what Amex has been doing. And that's just a quick summary on Amex. Now on to Aeroplan. The program has just been on top of the frequent flyer world since their relaunch in November of 2020. You know, I track offers for over 170 programs on our global website, frequentflyerbonuses.com. So I see a lot of what's going on around the world with frequent flyer, frequent guest, and other loyalty programs. And no other program has been more active in so many different ways than Aeroplan, from promotions to new airline partners to elite status and so much more. You know, you can tell the current team of Air Canada's loyalty program just know how to get things done. And from what it appears, the C-level leaders at Air Canada are letting them do this. They're letting them build the program up rather than down, as we have seen too many times over the years when the heads of loyalty are handcuffed by other departments or top-level management. So hopefully this will continue to be the case for a long time. So what did Aeroplan do this year? Well, they added more airline partners, Gulf Air, Eurowings Discover, and Oman Air, just to name a few. And then it has been the case with most new airline additions, you have the ability to combine them with Air Canada or other airlines on a single flight reward in the Aeroplan program. On the non-flight side, we saw Aeroplan add partnerships with Uber, LCBO, and Starbucks. That Starbucks partnership has had lots of promotions to earn a lot of points. Please don't judge me, but I've earned several thousands of points thanks to that Starbucks partnership alone this year. They also added Rocky Mountaineer Rail Tours as an additional non-flight partner. Kind of an interesting one, getting a rail company in there. Love to see that. Then there were all the elite status opportunities. You know, Aeroplan officially launched the everyday status qualification where you could earn Aeroplan 25K status without setting foot on a plane. Simply earn 100,000 points in a year and the status is yours. And this is an ongoing benefit of the program, not something just for the pandemic or anything like that. Then they had limited time elite status offers where if you spend $10,000 on select co-brand cards, you would earn 25K status or a boost to the next status level if you already had elite status. And speaking of the pandemic, Aeroplan continued to extend the current elite status for elite members. They continued to extend the pause on points expiry. I do still feel bad, though, for those who lost their points in that small window in July 2020 when points expiry did resume. They continued to extend e-upgrades. They've done so much more for the members during this time in terms of just everything that's going on. Then Aeroplan implemented the first part of their flight reward calendar. So this is on their system. So you could see a broader spectrum of flight rewards. They added seat selection on select partner reward flights. They launched a credit card in the US with Chase and also became a Chase Ultimate Rewards transfer partner. These were big developments, not only for the US, but for those Canadians who do utilize US credit cards. And the list goes on from Aeroplan. There was just so much from them as well, just like Amex. Air Canada's big counterpart, WestJet, wasn't as active, but they did make some small and noticeable efforts over the year, like being able to earn status qualifying spend on the World Elite MasterCard and letting members convert vouchers to their companion vouchers to lounge vouchers or use them for other people. But for the most part, they were relatively quiet during the year compared to some of these other programs. Although right before I recorded this, WestJet did come up with news of being able to further extend vouchers beyond December 31st, so kudos to them. Oh, I should also quickly circle back to some big news from late spring that unless you have been traveling more often again, you may have already forgotten about, and that was the Lounge Access Program Priority Pass losing access to all Plaza Premium lounges in Canada, and actually MasterCard's lounge key as well. It was a worldwide move as Plaza Premium is looking to create their own program and grow their network of lounges. But through some negotiations, Priority Pass kept some Plaza Premium lounges in their network, just none in Canada, which meant Priority Pass members in Canada now only had access to 8 lounges and restaurants coast to coast, and 3 of those alone were in Calgary. There was no longer any lounges in cities like Edmonton and Winnipeg for the program. As a bit of a reprieve, Visa worked with Plaza Premium to get select Visa Infinite and Infinite Privilege members access to their lounges until summer 2022, so we'll see what happens after that. And luckily for Amex, they have a separate agreement with Plaza Premium, so they kept their access to the lounges for Platinum Card members, and as of later in the year, passes for Gold Rewards Card members as well. However, I think the big loser here was MasterCard and their MasterCard Airport Experiences by Lounge Key, as they no longer had discounted access to any of those Plaza Premium lounges. Next up, early in September, we learned CIBC would become the new issuer of the Costco MasterCard, and they followed that up with more news in November with the actual details of the card. It becomes somewhat stronger on the earn side, but loses the travel insurance and price protection benefits the Capital One version had. They do add mobile device insurance to the card as well, and this new card is set to launch in March of 2022. The next big news event of the year, we had Cineplex and Scotiabank officially reveal the details of the new Scene Plus program. This program combines Cineplex's Scene with Scotia Rewards, and it looks pretty good, and I know some of our followers are actually quite excited for it. For the most part, there aren't huge changes from the two separate programs, but it does give access to many more rewards for Scene members, and even gives Scotia Rewards members the ability to earn more points. A good example of this are Scene's restaurant partners like Montana's, Harvey's, Swiss Chalet, etc. Before the merger of the programs, you would earn your Scene points, you know, 1 point for every $3 for the meal. And say if you paid with the Scotia Gold Amex card, you would earn your 5 times points per dollar there, but you were earning in 2 separate programs. Now, that double dip will earn the points all into one program. Your 5 times points from the Scotia Gold Amex will go into your Scene Plus account, and your 1 point for every $3 for the meal will go into your Scene Plus account. So that's some really good news. And then the other good news within that as well, and this is for the Scotia Rewards side, is that they're doing away with the 5,000 point minimum redemption level for any travel. So that means you can now redeem as little as 100 points for a $1 credit towards any travel you put on your cards. Yeah, definitely good news on that part. I mean, we had the not so good news earlier in the year from Cineplex Scene, but the merger into the Scene Plus program, I think for the most part, is a welcome move that most members of both programs will be happy with. This was followed by some of our own news. In the fall, we brought back Canada's Choice. This is where we have Canadians vote for their favorite credit cards and loyalty programs. We had laid Canada's Choice to rest back in 2015 after a 3-year run but resurrected it this year. Most of the results were what we expected, but there were a couple of surprises in there, like Neo Financial taking the top cashback card spot. But that's what happens in these type of awards. Sometimes it comes down to which program or issuer does the best outreach to their membership base. Overall, though, I was pretty happy with how it turned out this year, so be sure to watch for it in 2022 to cast your vote again. Let's move over to hotels now. We haven't really touched upon hotels yet. For the most part, though, over the year, hotel news was limited to their bonus point promotions, new hotel openings, lower elite qualification requirements, any extensions of elite status, and points expiry. There were two key news pieces in the world of hotel programs over the year, though, which I'll touch upon here. The first was the launch of World of Hyatt's peak and off-peak pricing in October. Originally set to happen in March of 2022, it was delayed due to the pandemic. Overall, peak and off-peak pricing can mean a devaluation to a program, and I think we do see that here, as there tends to be more peak pricing showing up than off-peak, at least outside of Canada. But this quasi-dynamic pricing was somewhat kept in check by Hyatt by having peak pricing max out at 5,000 points more than standard pricing in the higher-end categories. So, not a huge devaluation, but in some cases it is. I do want to point out one thing here about Hyatt, though. I was talking about points expiry and hotel programs extending them. And they've kind of disappointed me here because unlike most other hotel loyalty programs, they haven't announced an extension to the pause of expiry of points. Right now, they're set to start expiring on January 1st, 2022. So if you're listening to this podcast prior to that and haven't earned or burned any Hyatt points during the pandemic, yours truly included, you might want to take a look at buying some points, eating at a Hyatt hotel restaurant, or transferring points to another member to keep your points active. I mean, we do have it tougher here in Canada with this program, seeing that we don't have a co-brand credit card, and we actually only have less than 20 locations to stay at nationwide. Hyatt's news wasn't the biggest hotel news of the year, though. The biggest and most major news came from the ever-popular Marriott Bonvoy. In October, Marriott dropped a bombshell on the industry. They announced they were going to move to dynamic award night pricing. Gone will be the award charts that we're all accustomed to. The new flexible point redemption rates, as Marriott calls them, are set to start in March 2022. However, Marriott did say for the rest of next year they expect redemption rates for nearly all hotels, more than 97%, to continue to range between their current off-peak and peak redemption rates. Part of me thinks they're going to be higher at that kind of peak redemption rate, but I hope they prove me wrong. But that also means 3% of hotels will price higher than that. And I think we can guess what those ones will be. Maldives, Paris, New York come to mind. And then what will be in store for 2023? We don't know. What Marriott did state is rates will more closely resemble hotels' cash rates. And that's a key phrase that signals this as a devaluation. The Marriott Bonvoy program is essentially going to lose that outsized value on some key redemptions that their loyalty members strive to get by spending money at their hotels and on their credit cards. Just as we see with dynamic pricing for flights, if you want a room during high season, like spring break, Christmas, that costs a lot of cash, that's going to translate to a lot of points. Yes, Marriott already has semi-dynamic pricing in place with off-peak and peak award rates, but at least you knew there was a cap in the amount of points you'd spend. And even with peak pricing, there was still value to be had. This may no longer be the case. You can bet we'll have lots of coverage of this in the next few months when this launches in March. All right, don't worry. We are getting close to the end here. Only a few more topics to cover in this episode of the Rewards Canada podcast. Now we come to Air Miles and their big announcement of changes. You know, changes to one of Canada's most popular programs. Things like elite status now being automatically awarded to BMO Air Miles credit card holders. More precisely, Onyx status for World Elites and Gold status for basic Air Miles MasterCard holders. Then they came out with card-linked offers. If you're familiar with Drop or Amply, that's how this works. You simply link any Canadian MasterCard, which is really cool. It doesn't have to be an Air Miles one. And you use it at merchants that are part of the card-link offers at that time. You get some extra miles. So far, it's worked seamlessly for me at Subway on both my WestJet RBC World Elite MasterCard and my Diners Club MasterCard. But the biggest news of all from Air Miles with these changes was changes coming to Air Miles Flights booking platform. It was announced they were doing away with their reward chart pricing and moving to a dynamic model. There's that word again, dynamic model or dynamic pricing. Flights in the Air Miles Flights program would now follow the cash prices. A seat sale fare would cost less miles. An expensive last-minute fare would cost a lot more miles. And we'll come back to that shortly. However, along with the dynamic pricing, Air Miles made the flights platform way more flexible. Since pricing follows cash pricing and not what seats Air Miles gets from the airlines, there's now a lot more availability in the flight options. And you can now redeem for any fare class. Want to fly Emirates First Class by redeeming Air Miles reward miles for that flight? You can do that. They also got rid of the requirement of having to depart from Canada. You can now use your miles to fly wholly within the US or, say, from Europe to Asia. That can be done with Air Miles. So Air Miles promised a lot more flexibility, and they did deliver on that part, but at a cost. What cost, you may ask? Well, you have to wait a few more minutes as I'm trying to follow how things kind of happened this year on a timeline. I mean, for the most part, I know I went back with the lounge thing because that happened earlier than some of the other stuff, but trying to kind of keep on the timeline of the year. So that brings us to where we jump over to a type of program that we don't cover much on Rewards Canada, and that's a dining program. In the middle of November, McDonald's Canada launched their new My McDonald's Rewards loyalty program, a much expanded offering over the previous McDonald's Rewards / McCafe Rewards, where now you earn points per dollar spent rather than per visit for coffee or fries. And then you have a much wider catalog of redemption options. Fries, value meals, coffees, and more, those are all up for grab. There was some concern that there was a major devaluation, though, for those who only buy coffee. But good news came from McDonald's that they were keeping the on-cup sticker program of buying 7, getting 1 free in place. That's in place everywhere in Canada except for Manitoba and Northwestern Ontario. And now back to Air Miles. A few short days after McDonald's launched their new program, Air Miles officially launched the new Air Miles Flights platform. We got to test it out, and we wanted to test it out to see if the program retained the value that it had before. Before, we used to use a benchmark of 11 to 15 cents per mile for flights in the old system when redeeming for flights. And I actually asked Air Miles when I got to discuss the program changes with them. We did have discussions prior to them launching when they were introducing these changes to a few influencers and rewards blogs like ourselves. And so I asked them if the new Dynamic Flights program would provide better value than that, better than the 11 to 15 cents. And they said it would. So I did have some reserved excitement that this could be a really good thing. Well, on that first day that the new flights platform launched, my excitement was dashed pretty quickly. I conducted a bunch of searches and most of them fell below 10 cents per mile. I had one that was promising at over 20 cents per mile, and some of our readers were finding the same thing, that there were windows of opportunity with big value, but all those windows seemed to have been closed, well, corrected within a week of launch. I ran another round of searches about 2 weeks after the launch, and most of those again fell below 10 cents per mile. I did have a few at 11.1, 11, and 10.6 cents per mile, but those were few and far between. The value simply wasn't there mathematically anymore, and our readers are telling us about it. There's disappointment from them, and I even quickly perused Air Miles' Twitter feed, and I saw some others showing their disappointment as well. I wrote a whole nother post about the searches and the disappointment from our readers that I'll link to on our podcast page. You can check it out there to see what people see how people feel and what they're thinking about the new flights program. In that post, I do state, though, there is inherently more value in the flights program thanks to all the changes they made. More flight options available, more airlines to choose from, being able to book any fare class, and flying those routes outside of Canada. And I think a lot of the general members will find that beneficial, and they will see the new flights platform as a good change. But like I said, mathematically, the value in Air Miles Reward Flights has taken a hit, and most of the points and miles enthusiasts will agree that this is now a devaluation to the program. And guess what? That, in a nutshell, has covered what 2021 has been about in the world of points and miles in Canada. I've tried to cover a wide amount of news and topics from the year, but as I mentioned near the start of the episode, it would take a long time to cover them all. At the time of recording this, we were approaching 800 blog posts for the year, And then on top of that, we had the main website features, the bonus offers, and so much more. So as you can see, it's just too much content to cover in one podcast. And that's it for this episode. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to hit that like button, leave a 5-star rating, subscribe on your favorite platform, and even share it with your friends and family. Have a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a great New Year. Talk to you all in 2022. The Rewards Canada podcast is produced in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, with music produced by Regina Zone, TW, KOP.